From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Arrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Arrogate. A pulsating climax to the classic. Arrogate takes the lead and wins. Arrogate beat California Chrome.
Nyquist and Exaggerator. They're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Classic Empire to the 16th, about a length and a half. Not this time, is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, not this time. Classic Empire, Classic Empire by a neck, not this time. They finished a street in front of the rest.
It is Exaggerator's fault. No, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator, down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second. And then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff with you once again, broadcasting from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios right here in Lexington, Kentucky. That's right, we want to thank the folks at Jimmy John's here in Lexington for their support of the studio and the naming rights to this studio for 2017, and really happy to have them on board. And sometimes people say, hey, you know what, these shows go by freaky fast, so what the heck? We figured Jimmy John's would be a wonderful fit.
Yeah, well, they just do so much for the community and for us, and we're glad to have them on board.
And we've had several people tell us, guests in particular, that come on like our trainer talk program and jock talk program. They'll say, well, geez, I can't talk for a full hour. You want me to go for it? I have nothing to say for a full hour. And then we finish and they say, wow, that went by fast.
Yeah, it's funny too, like when you're hosting the show or when we're doing it together, you get to the end and you still have like 15 questions you'd like to ask. But you got to try to jam it all in an hour. But it's interesting, too. Like sometimes people, you ask a question, and then it leads to something else. And you may have some things scheduled, but the conversation's so good that you just, throw the format away and just let them roll. So it's pretty cool.
We do want to welcome everybody joining us throughout North America on Sirius XM Channel 93, on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, Arkansas, and across the country. And, of course, joining us worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net, that live streaming going out to countries all over the world. Last year, listeners in 167 countries made the Horse Racing Radio Network their home for racing coverage. Make sure you do the same here in 2017. JT, this is a bit of a milestone program for you this morning. I was thinking about this driving in. It is your very first show as a sexagenarian.
Yeah.
Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It sounds great.
Well, yes. Wait a minute. Now, you turned 60 yesterday.
Right.
And being known now as a sexagenarian has to take a little bit of the sting out, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm really noted for that, actually. Well, I wasn't expecting that open.
Well, it's appropriate because love is in the air in the thoroughbred industry. The breeding sheds across the nation officially opened yesterday, February 14th, usually around Valentine's Day. Yeah. So all of the stallions have their dates, the mares have their dates, and we're going to look for more exciting things on the foal front.
Yeah,
moving
we've seen some great,
the next several months.
Some great foals. I mean, yeah. I realize, now with social media, we get to see more and more, but people are posting stuff on Twitter every day, and it's really cool to see some of the babies, running around and the still pictures and stuff and
they're pedigrees. So cute.
And a lot of times you can see their sires, they're pictured with their dam usually. And then you can actually see the sire's face or whatever in a foal. And I love that. I think it's really great.
That would be kind of cool this morning, but in honor of the breeding sheds opening February 14th, go ahead and tweet to us. And if you have a foal picture from your farm anywhere in the world, whether you're listening to us here this morning, send us that foal picture, and we'll go ahead and retweet it for you throughout the program this morning. So we'll have a little publicity for your foals and get a chance to show everybody how cute these little babies are coming into this world at this time of year.
Yeah, they're great. I was actually looking at my Twitter analytics page this morning, and I think because of the full pictures that I've been retweeting and stuff, I now am up to 41% women followers, which I think is great.
You are a sexagenarian.
I am. That might have something to do with it. I didn't post any of those pictures, but thank God.
Thank goodness.
But yeah, it's usually it hovers like around 30% or whatever, and it's up to 41. And I go, wow, that's really great. It's got to be the fall pictures. It was the first thing that occurred to me that I had done a little bit different. But for some reason this year, I'm totally into the fall pictures. I just think they're great. A lot of them are just.
They're awesome. You
know, fantastic photography on top of everything else.
Yeah, tweet us your fall pictures anywhere that you are listening in the world. If you want to let us know where you're tuning in, where those pictures are coming from, where your farm is, that would be wonderful. Do that at HRRN on Twitter, and we will go ahead and try to retweet as many of those as we can throughout the program here this morning, right up until 10 o'clock Eastern time. We also are going to have a poll question for you to weigh in on at our Twitter feed. And here's the way it goes. There are three Derby prep races over the next 3 days. You have the El Camino Real out in California, Northern California, later today. You have the Hyacinth in Japan tomorrow. And then on Monday, President's Day, you have the Southwest Stakes. Which of those three, the El Camino Real, the Hyacinth, or the Southwest, those will be your three choices, figures to have the biggest impact on this year's Kentucky Derby? There you go. You can weigh in at HRN on Twitter and also send us those full pictures and we'll retweet them. We'd love to see all the babies out there throughout HRN Nation. Would be a lot of fun. Big show here today, and we're going to talk a lot of Derby. We are, believe it or not, just 77 days, 9 hours, 26 minutes, and 57 seconds away from the Run for the Roses on Saturday, May 6th. We're going to kick it off after our first commercial break with jockey Brian Hernandez Jr. And if that name is familiar, well, it should be. He was aboard McCracken in that track record-setting performance last week at Tampa Bay Downs in the Sam F. Davis. Looked really, really good doing it. And Jude, our number one pick in the fantasy league, looking pretty good. McCracken just really getting it done in his first start as a three-year-old.
Yeah, well, it would have been an epic fail had we picked a horse that didn't get any points first. Not unusual, but it would have been an epic fail. But we got lucky, got the winner, and we're actually 10 points ahead of our nearest competitor this week. So
yeah, well, worked thank out good. Brian for that winning ride.
Yes, that was good. And Flavion Pratt got a pickup mount on a horse that looks like he might be pretty salty.
The horse from Doug O'Neill, right?
Right.
The Iliad?
Iliad.
Yeah, and the San Vicente.
And Doug O'Neill's coming on later.
He is going to join us later. Doug O'Neill, a two-time Derby winner, will be with us to go down the road to the Kentucky Derby presented by Gainsway. That comes up in the final 15 minutes of the show, right around 9:45 Eastern. So we kick it off with Brian Hernandez Jr. We wrap it up with Doug O'Neill. In between, Trish Smith is going to be with us from MLS Power Sports in Georgetown, Kentucky, right around 8:50 Eastern time. She's going to tell us about what you can look forward to at their outstanding store when you go out there, or if you go to their website at mlspowersports.com and you're looking for that off-road recreational vehicle, ATV, side-by-side, whatever it is this year for your farming needs. She'll tell you all about what you can expect when you go to MLS Power Sports at 8:50 Eastern. We'll talk more Derby at the top of the second hour with Steve Haskin at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Steve does his Derby Dozen on the Blood Horse and America's Best Racing. We'll get a chance to catch up with Steve and get his thoughts on this year's Derby picture. And, of course, our good friend Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park will be with us at 9:25 Eastern time as we continue our Saturdays at Gulfstream series later today. That coverage early today, the Royal Delta, that grade two, going as the fourth race on the program. So you can tune in at 1:30 Eastern time to hear exclusive coverage of the Royal Delta, all part of Saturdays at Gulfstream, presented by the FTBOA. Busy show.
Yes, sounds like it.
Let's do it. Brian Hernandez is on deck. He'll join us right after this next commercial break. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adina Springs Stallion Macho Uno is off to a flying start in 2017. Currently the leading sire in North America with three black type winners already.
A thrilling finish in the Sunshine Millions Classic. Here's the wire. It's too close to call. Nauset Beach had the lead, but the bob went to High Riverside. Inside the final furlong, Tommy Macho and Luis Saez. Macho indeed, they're much the best. They won it by 5 in the end.
In addition, Macho Uno was recently represented by Starship Tribbles, an easy maiden special weight winner in Florida, drawing off to win by 6 1/4 lengths. Small Bear, a 3-year-old winner of an allowance race at Parks, the second consecutive win for Small Bear, who is owned by Bill Parcells' August Dawn Farm. And the promising 3-year-old Billy Treble, a winner of a maiden special weight in her debut for trainer Ron Moquette. And Macho Uno's 16 stakes winners from 2016 include new multimillionaire Dannon Legend. Macho Uno, standing at Edina Springs.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents, and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit nicholsoninsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
Protect your horse and perform your best with Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Flair strips are drug-free, self-adhesive nasal strips that are proven to reduce bleeding and provide benefits for horses at all levels. Designed by equine veterinarians and constructed from FDA-approved human medical-grade materials, Flair strips are used around the globe and are scientifically proven to make breathing easier, reduce fatigue, reduce lung bleeding, and help horses recover quicker. Visit FlairStrips.com to learn more or to find a dealer near you. Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Prevent, protect, perform.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And there he goes, McCracken on the outside. He swings to the center of the racetrack, and Hernandez has him in full stride as they're into the stretch. Wild Shot strikes to the lead. McCracken on the outside, gaining with every stride, and now Collar's the leader. Here's McCracken on the outside. Hernandez goes to the left-handed whip, drifts in slightly, but McCracken remains unblemished and will take the Sam Davis. Tapred is flying on for second. State of Honor is there for third. And Wild Shot finished fourth. And the running time on the board, 142.45.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, broadcasting live from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. And boy, what a powerful win by McCracken last weekend in the Sam F. Davis Stakes at Tampa Bay Downs. That was his 3-year-old debut, and trainer Ian Wilkes joined us on the program last weekend and said, you know what, he is not fully cranked for this comeback. And Ian even admitted it would be foolish to have him fully cranked and 110% ready to go for the Sam F. Davis when the ultimate goal is the Kentucky Derby on Saturday, May 6th. Well, the man who was aboard for that ride and has been aboard McCracken in each of his starts is jockey Brian Hernandez Jr., one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet and a class act, and he joins us now here on the Equine Forum. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Mike and Jude. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, first of all. It's a pleasure to have you. You're a guy that doesn't really do a lot of self-promoting. You let your work be your best advertisement, and you do such a fine job. It's kind of amazing to me. There's not too many riders like you that rise to these big occasions when you have the opportunity? And what do you take a different approach when you're riding a big race, or do you just ride it like any other race?
No, first of all, it all goes back to the horse. If it went for the right kind of horses underneath me, it'd make my job a whole lot tougher. And with the going into big races like that, it makes it a whole lot of fun to ride, because those are the races you want to ride every weekend. You just got to go out there and read your race and trust your horse and know your horse and know where you need to be in a race like that, and let the horse do the talking for you is the biggest thing.
Well, McCracken did a lot of talking last weekend, Brian. Take us through the race, start to finish. What was going on in the running of that race?
Yeah, you know, it was the way the racetrack was playing on Saturday. It was pretty speedy. So after the Sun Coast, the filly race earlier that day, when they went fast early and the filly on the lead kept running, I was a little nervous that we'd have to overcome the racetrack. But I just went out there and had confidence in McCracken. And when he left there good, and the biggest thing me and Ian discussed too is we wanted to try to save as much ground as possible with the way the racetrack was, just to try to save as much ground as possible. But don't compromise our horse at the same time. Don't try to put him in a position that he's not going to be comfortable in. We just had to go out there and let him find himself and take us there. And he broke smoothly like he always does, and we went around the first turn and got the ground saved that we needed to. And going on the backside, I kind of wanted to get in position and get moving at about the half mile point. And when I first nudged on him, he didn't really pick it up right away. So I started kind of second guessing myself, saying, "Oh man, there's no way I should be out of horse at this point." So I let him kind of gather his feet again. And then by the middle of the turn, he started picking off those horses. And when he finally started to pick off horses, once he did, I kind of sat back again and said, "Okay, I'm good from this position on." And he went by those horses so quickly that he just kind of swoops on by him. The thing about him is when he does makes his run, he does it so effortlessly. You don't even really feel him accelerate. Then you look up and all of a sudden you're by three or four of them in two jumps.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it looked. I mean, all of a sudden he just kind of took off. And I thought that you weren't asking him. He was kind of doing it on his own. And that was the most impressive part to me. I mean, you never really had to ask him. It looked like from the 3/8 pole. I mean, he just kind of started running, and it was at that point I thought, well, this horse is going to be impossible to beat today.
Yeah, and that's his thing, is he's just such a smart horse. You just got to go out there and trust him to do his job, and that he makes my job as well a lot easier, because when he's back there, he's sitting there reading a race just like I am. He's sizing up his competition and seeing where he needs to be in the race.
What's the difference between him and Fort Larned?
I mean, they were two totally different horses. Fort Larned, it took up until he finally got really good as a 4-year-old. He showed glimpses of being a really good horse early on, but it took him up into his 4-year-old year to really get over the top and get there like we wanted him to. And then with McCracken, early on, from day one when he first came in, Ian was always really high on him. And when he worked his first time out the gates, I think it was 5/8 out the gates one morning, and Ian said, "This is going to be a really good horse. We're going to have a lot of fun on him." It was just, it's two totally different horses. I mean, with Fort Larned, he'd run them off their feet. If something was behind him chasing them, when they got to the 5/8 pole, they'd be looking for a breather, and then he'd get faster. Whereas with McCracken, he sits back there and he watches the race and he reads his race. And when he decides to make his run, he just overpowers a lot of horses.
Yeah, talk about that maturity that we've seen from McCracken, Brian. So often in young horses, they want to just run off and get to the lead, and they're a bit speed crazy. But from the start, he's been a horse that's just relaxed beautifully for you.
Yeah, he's a really smart horse. He, even in the post parade and in the paddock and stuff like that, he doesn't exert any extra energy he needs to. You know, he just goes out there and he wants to do his job, and he wants to be a professional at his job. The only little hiccup we've ever had with him so far is we were in the street fence, and he got to feeling pretty good walking out the paddock and going into the tunnel at Churchill, and he reared up on his back legs and he wouldn't come down. He was walking on his back legs for a little while. And then once he came down, he, He went on about his job.
Just showing off. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. He wanted to show he was the man that day.
Brian, I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier when you talked about, you know, asking him to kind of run for the first time, and you said, well, I can't be out of horse this early, and then he eventually picked it up, and the rest is history. He sets a new track record. Is that the first time that you've ever felt that aboard McCracken, or did he kind of do that a little bit as a two-year-old as well?
No, it was kind of the first time he did that, but I think that was more of just the way the racetrack and those horses in front of him kind of sped up at that point too. It was a weird circumstance, but all his races as a two-year-old, even when he's sitting back there, you always had that confidence in him that he was going to get there and you didn't have to worry about it. And it was the same thing on Saturday. It was for about two jumps that I said, oh man, what's going on here? And then boom, he was back into the race. And that might've just been knocking the rust off of himself. You know, he hadn't run since the end of November. It'd been a couple months, and it may have just been getting back into race sharpness.
Did you notice any difference in how he felt? I know you get on him in the morning too, so maybe it wasn't as discernible. But like the difference between two and three, has he grown? Has he gotten stronger? Did he feel more powerful?
He feels more powerful. You know, he's not a very big horse. You know, he's not a horse that you're going to walk down the shed row and say, "Oh, there's McCracken," because he's just kind of a plain bay, a little on the smaller side for a 3-year old colt, but He seems like he's got more powerful, and his athletic ability is what is so great about him, you know, and his mindset. He wants to be a good horse. He wants to go out there and do his job correctly and be the best at it.
Jockey Brian Hernandez Jr. joining us here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brian, tell me a little bit about the gallop out, because it seemed like he was a bit of a handful to pull up for you afterwards.
Yeah, you know, he got to kind of playing around, and when the outrider went to grab him, he wanted to kind of get away from him, and I think he knew he won again, and he was just kind of showing off. You know, everybody, all the experts and the handicappers all were talking about how that other horse galloped out in front of him, but I think McCracken knew he did his job, and he just kind of was messing around galloping out.
You know, every time you've joined us on this program over the past few years, we've talked about trying to get to the Kentucky Derby and riding the Kentucky Derby for the first time. We can't do that anymore. You made your Derby debut last year aboard Tom's Ready. Tell me about that experience. Look back on that day. What was it like for you to finally walk out of the tunnel and onto the track beneath the Twin Spires?
You know, it was a great experience, especially to go out there on a horse like Tom's Ready, because we thought he had a really big chance. I mean, the only question was going to be the mile and a quarter. And he went out there and he ran it. He ran his race. I think he ended up 12th. But he got to the quarter pole right behind Nyquist, and I thought I had a big chance. And the distance kind of got to him. But just riding the Derby for the first time, you know, that's kind of just about every jockey's ultimate goal, is you want to go out there and ride on that first Saturday in May. And walking out the tunnel with all those people and just being a part of the show is the ultimate goal. And to be able to do it for the Bensons, you know, it was their first year back into the sport, and first to come out and have two horses in the Kentucky Derby, the first year they bought two-year-olds, it was huge. It was a lot of fun to have Mr. Benson come over, and they made a big party out of it, and it was a great experience. And this year, hopefully going in with McCracken, it'll make it a better experience, and hopefully we can do well.
Yeah, do you think that having that Derby under your belt's going to make you more relaxed and enjoy it a little bit more?
Yeah, and that's the great thing about with Ian and the Whittems. You know, the biggest thing with them is they always say you go out there and enjoy yourself. Go out there and enjoy the experience. So that's what's making this whole thing with McCracken even more special, is because you don't have a whole lot of pressure on you. You're just going out there and enjoying the whole situation and letting the horse do his job and do the talking for us. And it's been a lot of fun.
Well, Brian, he's done the talking. He's done it well so far, and we want to wish you all the best moving forward with McCracken, and safe trip every time you get a leg up each and every day, my friend. Thanks for being here.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
All right, that's jockey Brian Hernandez Jr. here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. And yeah, you can wear what you love at Embrace the Race. Nice guy, huh?
Yeah, he's terrific.
Really good rider.
I remember he he rode a race for us when he was an apprentice at Keeneland, and the horse was really not Keeneland material, but there was a little starter race that came up, and I thought he would run good. It was a 7-furlong race, and so he cut back in distance, and I liked the way he rode. I was watching him, you know, from the press box, and I said, you know, let's put Brian Hernandez on here, take the weight, and every edge for the $7,500 starter 7-furlong race.
Yeah.
And he was great in the paddock. You know, we told him just let the horse place himself and then make one run, you know, and he did and came flying at 77-1 and ran third.
Yep.
And we were so happy with that. And it was, he just did an outstanding job, really. And after that, I said, man, this kid's going places. And I was probably, you know, one of the happiest people when he won on Fort Larned, when he won that race, because, you know, I know how hard he works, and he's just a really good person, and that was a big, big win, and now he's following it up with this horse. So I think eventually he's going to be a name where, you know, everybody's going to want him. I'm not saying he could be Mike Smith, but he could be Mike Smith. You know, he's that kind of a guy. He really pays attention to business, and you know, he's a family guy, so lots of great things about Brian Hernandez.
Yeah, and a guy that's worked his entire career to try to get to the Kentucky Derby, as you heard in that interview, it finally happened last year. And I was so glad that you asked him the question about that experience helping him if he gets there again this year, because we hear this with other sports, with, you know, going into the Super Bowl, we heard, okay, well, one team has more experience than the other, and would the inexperienced team be able to overcome that inexperience, because it is a different animal. Same thing with the World Series every year and any championship event. Well, the Derby's our championship event. I have to think that experience of being there, done that, now he can be a little bit more composed, a little bit more relaxed. All the hoopla is done, the pomp, the circumstance. Now he knows what to expect when he goes through that tunnel and makes his way onto the track.
Yeah, it's not just the race itself. Like most jocks tell you, the minute they get loaded in the gate, it's just another race. You know, I mean, they're not really any more nervous than they are when they ride, you know, a race on a Thursday. But it's all the stuff that surrounds it, you know, the partying and the introductions to owners and all the interviews and all those things are you know, surreal, especially for a guy like Brian, who's not a you know, big public figure. And, you know, some jocks are out there shaking hands and kissing babies all the time and trying to get more mounts. And he's just out there doing his work, working horses in the morning, doing what he does. And so to have that experience with all the hoopla, you know what to expect going in, and you're not going to be, you know, as surprised or you know, it's not going to consume your schedule depending on what you want to do. So I think that the whole idea of, you know, second time Derby starter is a good thing.
Yeah, I think so too. We are going to continue to talk about that Kentucky Derby picture when Steve Haskin joins us at 9:00 Eastern. Trainer Doug O'Neill going to join us at 9:45 Eastern time to go down the road to the Kentucky Derby. That segment all presented by our friends at Gainesway. So plenty more Derby talk yet to come. We're going to get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment now, brought to you each and every Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty here in Lexington, Kentucky. And I tell you, each and every week, I've been doing it for more than a decade on this program. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, pre-owned vehicle, whatever it might be, you need to go see the folks at the Lexus store of Lexington, and in particular, my man, the godfather, Tony Attiano. They will take care of you at the Lexus store of Lexington.
The story of this great thoroughbred might easily fit the needed scenario for a 5-star bit of Hollywood magic. All the necessary ingredients are indeed there. In the summer of 1940, because of protracted German bombing of the British Isles, the British Bloodstock Agency offered for sale 5 stallions to American interests. Mr. C.B. Whitney purchased one who had won the Epsom Derby in record time. The contemporaries of the time cast a rather jaundiced eye, so to speak, on the purchase, and that the horse was considered to be essentially a sprinter with little consequent, at least apparently, chance of upgrading American breeding strains. The fact is, the 7-year-old gray very nearly never made it to America at all. Now, that in itself is a fascinating story which bears retelling. He was transported to America by ship, or at least was supposed to be, and accordingly installed in a crate and hoisted aboard a vessel which was part of a convoy headed across the Atlantic. Soon after sailing, the captain of the freighter discovered the horse's bill of lading, and, as this manifest forbade him from taking on livestock, the horse was returned to the dock. That, as it turned out, was a providential stroke of good fortune. You see, that particular vessel was torpedoed by a German U-boat and went to a watery grave at the bottom of the briny deep with nary a trace of a survivor. A subsequent freighter brought the equine specimen to American shores. At the New York dock assignated as the debarkation point, there was no horse unloading equipment, so it was decided to take him off the ship via a long and treacherously steep passenger gangplank. While he stood at the top, pensively surveying the scene and waited, filled with curiosity, steadfastly refusing debarkation. Straw was used to line the gangplank, and he was fed hay, all to no avail. Eventually, he was enticed down with sugar. Curiously enough, many of this stallion's get demonstrated that self-same temperament which was displayed at the New York dock in that year of 1940. When one of our subject stallion's daughter's first flight with a crafty veteran reinsman Hetty Eddie Arquero in the irons came out onto the racetrack for the 1946 Futurity, she stopped for an extended time in front of the stands, not acting up, mind you, just looking up and down the track until her curiosity was fully satisfied. She then went calmly, quietly, and professionally to the starting gate and promptly galloped off to an impressive score over the very best colts the East could offer by way of opposition. In the breeding shed, this stud was awesome, and the reason was really quite simple. He had five characteristics that were of paramount importance in passing on to new foals: soundness, speed, conformation, fertility, and something that cannot be seen or measured, his natural intelligence and temperament, which made his progeny very easy to handle. He was, in his prime in the breeding shed, the unequivocal, undisputedly foremost broodmare sire in the world. All told, he begat 68 stakes winners and was North America's leading sire in 1946, and he was a leading sire for 14 straight years. That marvelous gray stallion knew and appreciated human affection and yet did not exploit it. He was never too busy to stroll to his paddock fence for an endearing pat. He was kind, gentle, and uncomplicated. His nickname was Toby, but this great stallion, whose name is indelibly etched in the now yellowing pages of American racing history, was Mahmood.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor, a six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power. Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a 5-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down. A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Coase in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a fire speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes winning 2-year-old, Anchor Down is a half brother to Grade 1 winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainesway.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hey, HRN Nation, are you ready for Equestricon 2017? Well, you better be, because it's coming, and it's coming in August to Saratoga. Equestricon is the first ever customer-facing, fan-centric international racing convention and trade show. And you say, okay, well, what does that mean? Well, the point of the convention is to bring the entire industry together under one roof and open the doors to the fans, allowing unprecedented access and opportunities for engagement. The convention is going to be absolutely loaded with programming like panels, workshops, meet and greets, entertainment, autograph signings, appearances by racing authors and artists, and you're going to have several vendors that you can visit as well. For a full list of panels and panelists, all you have to do is visit their website. It's equestricon.com. And as you know, HRN, proud to be the official radio partner of Equestricon 2017. Should be a great event.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and the city of Saratoga has embraced it. And, you know, there's a lot of fans that have already inquired as to, you know, what we're going to do, when we're going to be there. And so it's really cool.
Now, we know that some people throughout the nation, HRN Nation, have full pictures because we've been seeing them on Twitter. And we open the show by asking people to tweet to us and send us those full pictures so that we can share those cute little foals with everybody across the world. So go ahead and do that at HRRN on Twitter. Tweet us your foal pictures. Let us know where you're listening and where your farm is, and we'll go ahead and retweet it for you and let people see how cute those little babies are and the future stars of the sport of thoroughbred racing. We also have a poll question out there, and the poll question, which of the three prep races, derby prep races, over the course of the next 3 days, the El Camino Real, the Hyacinth, or the Southwest, figures to have the biggest impact on this year's Kentucky Derby? Currently, the Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn on Monday is just running away with this one. So go ahead and weigh in at HRN and on Twitter and tweet us those full pictures. The Kentucky Derby is fast approaching, but there are, outside of those three, there is some interest in a race at Laurel coming up later this afternoon with the Miracle Wood. And it's not a points race for the Kentucky Derby, but it is a three-year-old race. And you know, I'm sure that the connections of the horses in that race are thinking, okay, if we run well here, we're firmly on the Derby trail, and we'll see where we go from there.
Yeah, Anthony Stabile and I were talking about this yesterday on the Naira Bet Stakes preview, how we would like to see this race be possibly a Grade 3 and definitely a points race. I think there should be a path through Maryland for the Kentucky Derby, and the Miracle Wood always seems to kick that off. There's three Triple Crown nominated horses in this race. No More Talk, O Dionysus, and Everybody Loves Rudy. So those horses have already been nominated, and I'm sure if somebody pops up other than those three and wins today, then when they do the secondary nominations, they'll throw their hat into the ring. But
yeah.
You know, No More Talk's an interesting horse. He ran in the slop first time out and showed some speed and backed up. Probably didn't love the track. Added Lasix for his next start and won, going a mile. And that's the distance of the Miracle Wood today. So he's an interesting horse. O Dionysus, one of the other Triple Crown nominated horses, he's by Bodemeister out of a flatter mare. So he's bred to get the distance, and he's only run a mile once, and he finished third, beaten three quarters of a length. But he's a very consistent horse, and looks like a horse that can get a mile and a quarter, and could go on. And then Everybody Loves Rudy. He broke his maiden two starts back, and last time out ran in the Jerome, so he kind of went from, you know, maiden race to yeah. Grade three, a little bit tough against El Arib. That was a big jump up, but he's a nice horse by Union Rags out of an AP Indy mare. So, you know, that pedigree kind of screams a mile and a quarter, a mile and a half even, right?
Yeah.
So he's a horse that we should keep an eye on down the road. So take a watch at the Miracle Wood at Laurel. Great card today at Laurel, by the way.
Yeah, it's a card that also features the John B. Campbell Stakes, which is a $75,000 stakes. That's for the older horses, but I want to bring that one up, Jude. It's the race that will follow the Miracle Wood, and it's a race that features one of our old favorites here on the program, and that is Paige McKenney. And Paige McKenney, a 7-year-old gelding, 17 wins and 45 starts. This is start number 46 this afternoon, has earned nearly $1.5 million and has done it somewhat the hard way, not, you know, competing in those grade ones week in and week out, has competed in a lot of listed stakes and been so, so consistent. Paige McKenney, 2-1 on the morning line for that stakes race later today.
Yeah, he's been first or second 30 times in 45 starts. So 2/3 of the time he's in the exacta.
How cool is that?
Yeah, how would you like to own a horse like that? That's just awesome. He's one of my favorites. He's made $1,450,000 and change. You know, ultra consistent. He had a little tendon issue after the Charlestown Classic, took time off, came back on January 21st and won the Native Dancer Stakes at Laurel. So this is his second start off a layoff. He won the General George last year, which is also today. But his trainer, Mary Epler, who's just done a sensational job with this horse and does a sensational job as a rule. She's 17% the last 365 days and 22% at the current Laurel meeting. And a really fine trainer. Used to train for Alfred Gwynn Vanderbilt. A lady of few words, but very talented with her horses. And
good trainer.
Yeah, very good trainer. And Paige McKenney, we wish him all the best again today. He's just really one of the coolest horses in training.
I'm going to stick with the older horses here for a minute, but I'm going to shift gears and go to the ladies and that Grade 2 Royal Delta down at Gulfstream. I didn't tell you I was going to bring this up, so I don't know if you had the past performances in front of you, Jude. But
well, what do you think? I'm an amateur?
Well, I didn't want to, you know, throw you to the wolves here.
Yeah,
you know,
well, I appreciate that.
You are a newly
what happened all of a sudden?
Indoctrinated sexagenarian.
That's the problem. We have a new thing here. They're not throwing me to the wolves.
Six horses set to go. It is race number 4. Again, our coverage of that race is part of our Saturdays at Gulfstream series presented by the FTBOA. That comes up at 1:30 Eastern time this afternoon. Now, post time for the race is 1:30, but as we know, at Gulfstream, that's going to go a little bit later, so probably more along the lines of 1:40 or 1:45. And that coverage this afternoon on Sirius XM 83. Make a note of that. Sirius XM 83, 1:30 Eastern, and of course worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. Your thoughts on the Grade 2 Royal Delta?
Well, you know, it is a short field, but there's three fillies in there that I think, you know, any one of the three could win. Number 1, Verve's Tale. Number 2, Curlin's Approval. And number 5, Eskin for Money. I like Curlin's Approval. I think she's going to run really well. Her last start was super, the Hurricane Birdie. She ran 7 furlongs and won with aplomb. She's a very nice filly. She's won 4 out of 7 starts. And That's who I like in there. But asking for money, you can make a case for her. She also won her last start. That was December the 17th at Gulfstream, the Grade 3 Rampart. So she's coming off a little bit of a rest, but I would call it more of a freshening for Todd Pletcher. And we know Todd doesn't like to run his horses too close together. So I think she's super live as well. And then Verve's Tale from Barkley Tags Barn, she's won her last two starts. She won the Grade 3 Cumley in her last race. That was November the 26th, so she's coming off even a longer type layoff. And she's run well fresh in the past. So those three fillies look pretty tough, but I'm going to take Curlin's Approval because she has the recency edge. She's also got really good pace numbers. And even though she's never run a mile in the 16th before, I think it's well within her scope. She's by Curlin out of a with approval mare, so she should be able to get a mile on the 16th like breaking sticks.
We're going to talk more about that Grade 2 Royal Delta and what you can expect on this Saturday afternoon at Gulfstream Park when we're joined by Gulfstream Director of Marketing Mike Nyman right around 9:25 Eastern time. Also going to visit with Hall of Fame turf rider Steve Haskin at 9 o'clock Eastern and trainer Doug O'Neill at 9:45 Eastern time. So an awful lot of things still ahead here on the Horse Racing Radio Network this morning. But when we return, we're going to spend a little time telling you how you can get ready for all of the farming that you have to do, or if you just want to get out and enjoy a weekend with your recreational vehicle, your ATV, your side-by-side, whatever it might be. The great folks at MLS Power Sports in Georgetown, Kentucky, trust me, great to do business with, and they can help you out on that front. We're going to visit with Trish Smith from MLS Power Sports right after this. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Amalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Upstart, the best 2- and 3-year-old son of leading sire Flatter.
But Upstart is pulling away, and he is pulling away impressively to win the Holy Bowl.
Upstart became the East Coast leading Kentucky Derby contender after demolishing a star-studded field in the Grade 2 Holy Bowl and retired a multiple graded stakes winner and 6 times Grade 1 placed with earnings of more than $1.7 million. Airdrie Stud's Upstart. Think about it.
New to cool more America for 2017, Air Force Blue. A force to be reckoned with. A champion 2-year-old by Warfront.
And Air Force Blue now comes bounding through. 2-3 lengths clear. A really good horse.
A 3-time Group 1 winner. Armed with a devastating turn of foot. He's ready to take flight as a sire. It's time to get on board. Coolmore America, home of champions.
This afternoon, the ladies once again take center stage at Gulfstream's championship meet with the Grade 2 Royal Delta Stakes and the return of the ultra-popular Girls Got Game betting challenge. Pre-enter for just $50 or pay the day of the contest for $60 at 10 Palms. Plus, receive a free gift with the purchase of a racetrack program. and be sure to take advantage of Guaranteed Pick 4 pools and the potential for huge payouts with the Rainbow Six. It's all happening at Gulfstream Park. Welcome to your playground.
Claiborne Farm is proud to offer the regally bred Orb. The son of Malibu Moon compiled a five-race winning streak that included the Fountain of Youth and Florida Derby. In the Kentucky Derby, he defeated rivals Will Take Charge, Oxbow, Golden Sense, and Palace Malice. Now the millionaire racehorse is garnering big checks for breeders. In the auction ring, Orb is the number one sire of his crop, with first yearlings selling up to $450,000. Now is the time to book your mare to Orb at Claiborne Farm.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They run past the quarter pole. Curlin's approval up to confront Bodacious Babe. Distinta continues to chip away at the top pair from fourth in genre from fifth. You bought her into the stretch and up top. Curlin's approval takes a narrow lead. Bodacious Babe battles on second. Distinta next down the center. You bought her with a late say. Inside the final 16th and Curlin's approval starts to edge away and will be the favorite. Curlin's approval and Luis Saez to win it by two. Genre gets second. Distinta was third. Close for fourth between Bodacious Babe and you bought Water in 123-1.
Curlin's approval winning the Hurricane Birdie Stakes and one of the major players in this afternoon's Grade 2 Royal Delta at Gulfstream Park. As we told you in the previous segment, that coverage this afternoon begins 1:30 Eastern Time. You can tune in on Sirius XM Channel 83 and worldwide at horseracingradio.net with our live streaming. And also, don't forget, for all of you who like to listen to horse racing content in Spanish, you can now do that each and every Saturday morning with Hablando de Hibismo, that is talking racing in Spanish. And you can do it every Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern on our Spanish broadcast platform, HRRN and Espanol.com. Roberto Rodriguez, Eloy Vielma do a tremendous job every Saturday morning, and you can tune in from 10 to 11 and get the latest scoop all in Spanish. Plus, they're broadcasting the Royal Delta in Spanish, by the way.
Yes.
En Español.
En Español.
Yeah.
Perfectamente.
Yeah, we are going to be joined in a few minutes. We're efforting Trish Smith with MLS Power Sports. Looking forward to that visit. And then Steve Haskin coming up 9 o'clock Eastern with his Derby Dozen. He'll preview that three-year-old picture as we edge closer to the Kentucky Derby. Mike Nyman from Gulfstream at 9:25 Eastern Time, and Doug O'Neill going down the road to the Kentucky Derby, presented by Gainsway at the end of the program, right around 9:45 Eastern. But I did tell you that if you are looking for the perfect vehicle for your farm, and let's face it, springtime is right around the corner. It feels like springtime here in Kentucky now. You want to get out, you want to enjoy your farm, and you want to do it in an easy and convenient way. Well, you want to look at MLS Power Sports in Georgetown, Kentucky. I can promise you, I was there last summer. I purchased a new side-by-side from them. They did an unbelievable job. I can't recommend them highly enough. And Trish Smith is with us now from MLS Power Sports. her and her husband, Mark, are the owners of MLS Power Sports. And Trish, now that I butchered the intro, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you guys have me on today.
Yeah, a true rose between two thorns with Jude and I here in the studio this morning.
No, I don't believe that.
Well, you should.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, happy to have you on board. And I've been telling people about MLS Power Sports since I made the visit there last summer, and I can't thank you enough. You and Mark both kind of took me under your wing and educated me about the products, and I couldn't be happier with my purchase, and I would recommend everybody throughout HRN Nation here heading over to MLS Power Sports for their new side-by-side or ATV.
Well, thank you, Mike. I can't thank you enough for the kind words that you've had for us. And, you know, I hope that everyone that walks through our door feels the same way. We work so hard to make sure and really talk to people and find out what their need is, for what they're going to be using their machine for, whether it's work or play, and need to make sure they really are leaving with what they need.
So what are some of the products that you're featuring that people can look forward to, well, test driving or taking a closer look at when they stop out to MLS Power Sports?
Well, I'll tell you, we've got all different machines here. We specialize in Articat, and so that's going to be ATVs all the way down to a kid's ATV, a 90cc, all the way up to a 1,000cc side-by-side that you can get for either work or play. So we've got the work ATVs, the utilities, and, you know, they've got racks so you can load all kinds of stuff on them. We have a lot of farmers that like to stay with ATVs because they're so much more agile and getting out on the farm and moving animals around if needed. And then we've got the side-by-sides that have got a bed, a dump bed. We've got a great HDX 700 that has a special feature. The bed sides are removable, so it also makes a flat bed, and it comes standard with toolboxes underneath. And so it's just a great vehicle to work with. And that vehicle comes in a 3-seat, and it also comes in a crew, which is a 6-seater. So if you've got to move a lot of people around, take them for visits on the farm or whatever, it's perfect.
Yeah, and you can go to MLSPowerSports.com to see pictures of all of these side-by-sides and ATVs that Trish is talking about. It's MLSPowerSports.com. And Trish, I believe they can also go ahead and order right through the website, or do they have to call the store first?
Well, I'll tell you what, you're right. We can, we've got all of our inventory listed on our website. And then also, if you are interested and need financing, you can do your application for financing right there online. And we'll get back to you quick with the best rates that are available. And usually, we've got rates as low as 2.9, which is wonderful. And then if you find one machine on there that catches your eye, just give us a call. And we'll absolutely talk to you about it and give you detail and walk you through the whole process.
I have to tell you, I was in a few weeks ago, and my ATV ended up getting a flat tire down on the farm, which is never fun. And I brought it back in to you guys, and it actually came back quicker than they told me it was going to. I had it back in my possession, and everything was perfect. But I got looking at those 2017 Arctic Cats, and boy, they are absolutely spectacular, Trish.
They are. They are good, strong machines, and they just really get the work done. We keep one on our farm as well, and just, you know, cutting down trees and hauling firewood and brush, and there's a few loads of manure that have went in there, and it's just perfect for all of that work and getting it done.
How long have you and Mark been in that location out there in Georgetown?
We have been in this location now for 3.5 years, and we were at a previous location for an additional 3 years, and we actually started this from our home many years ago, and it was just a hobby for my husband while he was working somewhere else, and just grew to be too much, and we were very blessed, and we were able to open a store, and that's been almost 11 years ago now.
Well, as somebody who grew up working with his dad in a family-owned business, for me, when I walked through your doors and started talking with you and Mark and found out that, you know, the two of you were running this as a family-owned business, it was, you know, and then the way I was treated, you remember, I went to Mark and I said, you have to let me talk about you on the radio. You've done such a great job and done right by me. And again, I can't thank you enough for all of that and all of your support. And one other thing I want to touch on, Trish, before I let you go, is that you are now carrying, in addition to the ATVs and the side-by-sides, you're now carrying Spartan mowers. Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, that's right, Mike. We are so excited about this. We got to meet the owner of Spartan Mowers just last year, and we were just blown away at the quality of these machines. No, mowers are a little out of and away from the off-road vehicles that we deal with, but we thought it would match up so nicely with our customers because we have so many customers that own utility vehicles because they work on their property, and they have, you know, like a half an acre and up, you know, know, 5, 10, 15 acres. And these mowers are commercial grade mowers, so they're a great commercial application for if you're doing it as a business. And they are also great for an application at home. And they are made in America, and they're made with American steel. And they are just a great company, and you'll be surprised at the price. For the quality you're getting, the price is so competitive. And we're excited because, you know, with everything going on with companies and trying to move out of the country to get their manufacturing done, this company is just determined they're going to stay in America and they're going to use American products and still be price competitive. So we're just really excited about this place.
Trish Smith with MLS Power Sports, our special guest here on the Equine Forum this morning. Trish, like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, and you can wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. So we will send that over to you, and once again, we'll encourage people to visit the website MLSPowerSports.com and check out all the great products and give you a call, give Mark a call, and talk to you about their ATV, their mowing needs, whatever it might be. They can do it at MLSPowerSports.com.
Thank you, Mike, and we'll wear that proudly.
Thanks, Trish. Appreciate it. Trish Smith here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're going to get to a quick transition into hour number two. We're going to have more Derby talk coming your way in the second half of the program. That's all ahead right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Behold the ranch Songbird, a soul-stirring deal. Forever unbridled, Tulane's back bird. Songbird and Beholder, Beholder and Songbird, a cliffhanger that could go either way.
Here comes Lonnie on the far outside, and Brigator is coming too. It is Destin in front. Brigator, Lonnie on the outside. Destin and Brigator, these two come down to the line together.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second, then Neolithic, back forth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice. But what a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrogate romps in the Pegasus!
Drapong on the inside and Masochistic still battling it out. AP Indian making no impression. Mind Your Biscuits is bubbling to the surface. Drapong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish. But Drapong's the leader. Drapong has won.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum. A very busy morning here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. We are broadcasting from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios right here in Lexington, Kentucky, and happy to have you with us for the second half of the program. If you did miss any portion of the first half, our interview with Brian Hernandez Jr. talking about leading Derby candidate McCracken, or that interview just a few moments ago with Trish Smith, head on over to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast at your leisure. You can also do that Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. Steve Haskin going to join us in just a few minutes to kick off the second half of the program. Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park will be with us right around 9:25 Eastern. And then Doug O'Neill taking us down the road to the Kentucky Derby at 9:45 Eastern time.
Yeah, and we had an inquiry about the channel for the race broadcast this afternoon, and it is 83. Is that correct?
Correct. Sirius XM 83.
All right.
Yeah, 1:30 Eastern time, the Royal Delta, part of that continuing coverage of Saturdays at Gulfstream presented by the FTBOA. And we kicked off the program asking you to tweet us your foal pictures, if you have any, and let us know where you're tuned in, where your farm might be. We did receive a picture here just a few moments ago from Airdrie Stud. And boy, if you go to our Twitter feed, we just retweeted it, at HRN on Twitter. It is a summer front filly out of Horse of the Year Biofuel. Man, good looking filly. Check that out right there at HRN on Twitter and send us your foal pictures. We will retweet them for you over the course of the next hour. And you can weigh in on our poll question as well, which is Well, which of the three weekend stakes races figures to have the biggest impact on the Kentucky Derby? The El Camino Real, the Hyacinth in Japan tomorrow, or Monday's Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn? And Jude, the Southwest Stakes right now just annihilating the competition. 80% of the people in HRN Nation saying that's the race that is going to have the biggest impact.
It makes sense.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I wonder what Steve Haskin, how he would answer that poll question. Steve is with us now. Steve, welcome to the program, my friend.
Great to be here, Mike.
Steve, do you agree? Is it the Southwest Stakes that figures to have the biggest impact on this year's Derby?
I'm surprised it only got 80%.
Yeah.
I would certainly think so.
Well, you put together.
You never know how good these horses are in Japan, and I think a lot of people are enamored with the Japanese horses in general now because of Lanny last year. But you know, and it's all a guess. I mean, obviously they want a Japanese horse. They're giving away all these points where it's just basically a win and you're in automatically. So, I mean, these spots in the Derby are so precious. Everybody's fighting for them. And I'm sure a lot of trainers would not be happy to lose their spot if they're the 21st horse to lose it to a Japanese horse. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but I'm just thinking how the other trainers might feel.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Steve. And when they announced that they were going to do this, it seemed a bit strange to me. And I don't know if you've gotten any more clarification on it over the past several months, but why a Japanese horse? Why single out a Japanese horse as opposed to horses from other countries or even from other states for that matter?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, that's the question. I have not been able to get an answer on that at all. For some reason, they just want a Japanese horse. Whatever, you know, with Churchill Downs, you never know what their agenda is. Are they trying to better the Kentucky Derby field? I don't know. Are they trying to make it more interesting? You know, I'm sure they felt good last year with the performance of Lanny in all three of the Triple Crown races. But when you get down to it, like you said, and that's the question I've had for the last couple of years, why Japan? Why not look for a horse from Dubai or from Ireland or somebody? They weren't qualifying races, but they were sponsored races on the all weather, you know, in a Linkfield and some of the all weather tracks in England, where they would have Derby sponsored races to entice the winners of those races to come over. Well, so I mean, I can even see that. You know, we're a lot more familiar with that. Plus, a lot of those horses are American bred. But, I mean, we have so many horses in the United States that want to get into the Derby. So many owners, you're talking about a once-in-a-lifetime dream that they come up with a big horse, and they say, this is my one opportunity in my life, even a trainer, my one opportunity in life to get to a Derby, and I'm going to lose out to a Japanese horse. I mean, why? I mean, this is the Kentucky Derby. This is not an international event. It was never meant to be an international event. So I don't understand it. I just don't think it's fair. You know, when you have only 20 spots and you know you've got hundreds of horses trying to get into those 20 spots all through the course of the Derby trail, that I think every point, every race is so precious. And boy, I tell you, I would not want to be the 21st horse on the list.
Yeah, it is a little bit unfortunate. The one thing I can think of that may have forced Churchill Downs, as you know, they're a bottom line kind of company, is that Japanese horses bring tremendous handle wherever they go.
Exactly.
And
if you had a Dubai horse, you're 100% right.
You know, so I think that maybe they're looking at the fact that there's going to be millions of dollars bet on a Japanese horse in the Kentucky Derby. So
I think you're 100% right. I mean, I've seen that bantered about, and it certainly makes sense. I mean, the way Churchill Downs thinks, that to me would be a logical reason why they would go this route, because the handle is ridiculous. And you know what will happen next? Next thing you know, we'll have a spot open for a Hong Kong horse.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Steve, we are just 77 days, 8 hours, 25 minutes, and 23 seconds away from the Kentucky Derby, but who's counting? And one of the ways that people for years have been able to keep up with the top contenders is by reading your Derby Dozen. And this week you were a bit conflicted as to who was going to be your top selection. And it ended up being McCracken, who set that track record in the Sam F. Davis at Tampa Bay last week. We had a chance to visit with his jockey, Brian Hernandez Jr., in the first half of the program. But this was not an easy decision for you, according to your article.
No, I mean, I mean, even the morning when it was due, because, you know, I first have to put in my list and the abbreviated comments for the magazine. So it has to be, even though it doesn't come out online until Tuesday, my order has to be in by Monday morning. So, I mean, I was conflicted all day Sunday and even Monday morning. When I woke up Monday morning, I had Irish War Cry on top. And when I started looking at it, and I said, and as much as I love Irish War Cry and loved him since his incredible maiden victory at Laurel, I just said to myself, he's got questions. McCracken has none. I have absolutely no questions regarding McCracken. With Irish War Cry, I have that question of where, you know, of strategy. Is he going to be committed to the lead? This is not a year you want a horse that's going to be on the lead or anywhere near the lead, because there's some really top-class, very fast horses that want to be on or near the lead. And the fact that he came from so far out of it in his maiden race, and then in the second start in Marylander, he was so rank early fighting for the lead. I said, what is this all about? And even surprised Graham Motion. And in this race, I mean, I loved his race, and I ranked him number one off the Holy Bull the week before, because he did relax. Even though he went to the lead, I think he just went to the lead because he was the best horse and nobody else wanted it. And he went to first quarter in 24. And once he got that first quarter, that race was over, considering Classic Empire did not run his race for whatever reason, whether it was the abscess, a combination of the abscess and just getting washed out and upset on the van ride. I mean, I don't know what the correlation between the two. So if you just look at it, I mean, Irish War Cry looked like the Derby horse to me, but I wanted to see him come from off the pace. It was the same question I had with American Pharoah. When he did in the Arkansas Derby, I said, okay, I know he can raid off the pace now. Now there's nothing this horse can't do. Now this horse is potential superstar. And I still think that Irish War Cry is, but he's got to show me he can come off the pace. McCracken, there's nothing he has to show me. I wanted to see him, how he performed away from Churchill Downs. We knew he was 3-for-3 there and loved the track. I wanted to see if he could run the same way on a different track, especially a track like Tampa, which is quite quirky, and a lot of horses just don't handle it. And to see if he had the same style of running. And, you know, there were some pretty decent horses in there, at least horses that were very good as two-year-olds. And looking at the race, you know, when he went that big, wide, sweeping move and then just, you know, drew away in the stretch. Now, I know a lot of people say, oh, well, Taprit was closing on him. Well, you know, he was giving Taprit 6 pounds. He lost a ton of ground on the turn circling the field. And knowing Ian Wilkes, that horse was not even anywhere near fully cranked for this race, even though they broke the track record. He just did it on his own, basically. And I think the track was kind of fast that day, if you look at some of the fractions of the few dirt races they did have. But all in all, I just think it was an excellent performance. Ian Wilkes, even though he's not listed as a Kentucky Derby winning trainer, he's won 2 Kentucky Derbies, especially one. He was Carl Nasker's assistant, was unbridled, and he basically did the daily training for Street Sense. Carl was semi-retired at the time, and they were basically a trainer partnership. So Ian knows how to get a horse to win the Kentucky Derby. And if you look at the other dirt races on the card, there weren't many, but there was a Suncoast Stakes and there was a pretty solid 7-furlong maiden race. And in both races, the winner went wire to wire. They went fast fractions. The Sunkiss was won by a long shot. And then if you look at how State of Honor ran on the front end of the Tampa Bay, I have to think that that track was pretty conducive to speed. So I think he overcame that as well. So I just look at the horse. I'm looking for some flaw, and I can't find one. And that was the little edge that I gave him over Irish War Cry.
We had Brian Hernandez on before you were on this morning, and he said the same thing about the track favoring speed. He said he was a little nervous watching those other races and watching the horses go wire to wire, and but he didn't want to change anything, and he was just happy that McCracken was so up to the task, and he really didn't have to worry about anything. And I think that's the beauty of McCracken. He's very laid back, and he just kind of, you know, he just runs his own race, and Brian kind of underlined that when he was on.
Yeah, well, see, and his female family traces to a horse, a No Double, who a lot of people don't remember, but people don't realize what an absolute tough, resilient horse this was, who was running against Hall of Famers. I mean, he beat Damascus, he beat Gamely, he was second to Arts and Letters. He won. He ran sub 2 minute mile and a quarters in stakes three times. He won the Met Mile, beating Reviewer. I mean, he was a tremendous horse and just as tough as nails. And I really like to see No Double in a horse's pedigree. So I have no questions at all about McCracken being durable and tough. And I just think there's still a lot more to come. You know what a lot of trainers don't realize is that they're so points conscious. They don't realize that these are preps. You don't have to win them all. You don't want a horse to start breaking track records or running ridiculous speed figures early in the year. We also saw what happened last year with Destin at Tampa Bay. You know, he had won the Sam Davis, and looked like he was an up-and-coming star and certainly a legitimate Derby horse. And then he went in the Tampa Bay Derby, and he broke the track record. But he got a Ragusan number that was incredibly fast. It was such a major jump from his previous start in the Sam Davis that his owners, one of whom owns the Ragusan Cheats, panicked and said, we just lost the race right here. We can't run him in a prep race. If we run him in a prep race, he's going to explode. So we have to go straight into the Derby. Now, nobody goes into the Kentucky Derby off the Tampa Bay Derby. It's way too long a period of time. So they had no choice, at least in their mind. So they decided that they have to go straight in. So I gave him absolutely no chance in the race. And what happened? He did not run well. He ran okay. He didn't. He wasn't threatening, but he ran an okay race in the Derby. And that set him up for almost winning the Belmont Stakes. He ran a tremendous race in the Belmont. But that's the mentality now. It's like, well, we need the points. We have to go for the points. And that's fine. And that's also one of the peeves I have, where because the sprint races have no points, nobody preps their horses for in sprints anymore to start out their year. Until last year, when Doug O'Neill did it and Keith DeSormo did it, and their horses not only ran 1-2 in the San Vicente, but ran 1-2 in the Kentucky Derby. If you go back to the 60s, 70s, and 80s, every single champion, every single great horse that you can think of in those decades, every one of them, including all three Triple Crown winners, all started the year off in a sprint race. That's the way it was done. Nobody does that anymore. You know why? Because there's no points. But like, if you listen to all the top old-time trainers, and John Neighbor used to say this all the time, when you have a horse who's been running in races like the Champagne or the Garden State Stakes back then, or even the Breeders' Cup now or the Remsen, you want them to come back. You want to give them a sharpener. You don't want to subject them to another two-turn race, because you keep running a mile and a 16th, mile and a 16th, mile and a 16th. By the time you get to the Derby, it's starting to get a little dull, maybe going the other way. But when you start them off in that sprint race, Seattle Slough started off in an allowance race at 7 furlongs and ran 7 furlongs at 120 and 3. And, you know, Billy Turner was saying, oh, how am I going to get this horse to go, you know, to get through the Triple Crown? Well, you know, he did. He had a great horse. But these horses need a sharpener to get that out of them. And then when they move up to two turns, they're a lot sharper, and it's a much better way of getting to the Derby. At least it's been proven that way in the past. But nobody does it anymore, and you know a lot of these races are being diluted. If you look at all the preps we have now, there's no set preps. The Wood Memorial is not the prep it used to be. The Bluegrass isn't the prep it used to be. So much so that they lowered the grade one to grade two, which I thought certainly was premature to lower both of those races, especially the Bluegrass Stakes, where up until last year, it had been run for, what, 7-8 years on an all-weather track and a synthetic track. It didn't lure anybody good. So how are you going to expect horses to come off of there, even though Street Sense did, actually? But, Bluegrass just wasn't given a chance. They decided to lower it.
Talking with Hall of Fame turf rider Steve Haskin here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Steve, only about a minute and a half left before we have to get to our next commercial break, but I do want to quickly run through your top five on your Derby Dozen, and it starts with McCracken and then Irish War Cry in second. Motown, who, as you point out, a bit of a forgotten horse, is in third. You have Mastery 4, and then Classic Empire 5. Now, this is where I know we only have about a minute left, but I want to let you touch on Classic Empire because a lot of people are scratching their heads after that Holy Bull Stakes performance.
Well, I was too. I mean, the first week afterwards, I had him ranked 7. And then when I heard about the abscess, I moved him up to 5. I just don't know. I mean, I've asked people this question, because I'm not a trainer or a veterinarian. Can an abscess cause a horse to sweat in the post parade and act up at the starting gate? You know, I mean, I could see if vanning over in the morning of the race, you know, being jostled around in the van could irritate, you know, the foot, you know, and get the horse to be upset. But he would come off the van, you know, at least a little bit lame. He didn't show any signs of it, obviously. But I'll give it to him under the stress of the race. But I still don't like the fact that this horse sweated in the post parade the way he did. And also, it was agitated at the gate because he's got a history with what he did in the Hopeful Stakes. So the main thing is with him is that on some days he's an absolute perfect gentleman and the consummate pro, like he was in the Breeders' Futurity and in the Breeders' Cup. But you just don't know. I don't know if I trust him on how he's going to handle 150,000 people and all the bands and all the music and everything and the hoopla of the Derby.
Yep.
I just don't know. So it's very important to see how he rebounds. One day he was going to leave town and we can't run at Gulfstream anymore. We got to go to a racetrack where he's going to be stable. Next day, when they found out about the abscess, now he's running in the Fountain of Youth. So then they're really not sure what to expect either. You know, I think they're convincing themselves to be confident. Horse has got a world of ability, and I'm not giving up on him. But, race to race, I just don't know what to expect from him.
He's Steve Haskin. Nobody better. If you're looking for information on the road to the Kentucky Derby, check out his Derby Dozen online, americasbestracing.net, and you can also check it out, bloodhorse.com. Steve, appreciate it, my friend. As always, keep up the great work, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, and Steve Haskin, like all of our guests, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com.
That was a very interesting conversation.
Yeah, good stuff. I mean, he's really on top of things.
I really do think that that the foot had something to do with his agitation in the post-parade and the fact that he didn't travel well. You know, feet are pesky little things. I know we have to go to break.
That's okay.
But a lot of times a horse will have that coming on and you don't know it. You can't see it. Sometimes you can, and then you stop. But if you can't see it, you don't know what's going on until after they do something hard, like a workout or a race, and then it'll come to the fore. They'll get sore. And I could see that maybe he wasn't comfortable on the ride, standing there for, you know, an hour and a half or whatever on a van. And then in the post parade, he warmed up, and he knew he wasn't right, and he got sweaty and anxious. So I'm willing to give him a pass for that. But we'll see how he trains up to it and go from there. He is a very interesting horse because he's got tons of talent, but he is not super reliable.
No. All right, we are going to get to that commercial break. Mike Nyman on the other side of that break from Gulfstream. Doug O'Neill still yet to come at 9:45 Eastern time. But before we do, it is time for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Well, here's the main headline on bloodhorse.com. Grade 1 winner Illuminate set for race return to racing. After finding Illuminate's top gear in the spring of 2016, trainer Michael McCarthy had to hit the brakes. The then 4-year-old filly broke through with a plum in the Gamely at Santa Anita on May 30th. The stalking trip was a determined kick for home to hold off 7 rivals. for the Daughter of Quality Road, and it was her first stakes score at any level and McCarthy's second Grade 1 win of his training career. Well, after she won the Gamely, McCarthy said, "I really thought she was going places. We were thinking about Saratoga and possibly the Beverly D. Everything was in play, but of course during training as the Southern California circuit shifted to Del Mar for the summer, something just didn't feel right." McCarthy attributed it to the wear and tear of five tough races through 5 months, but the filly also just wasn't taking to the main track in San Diego County. But Illuminant set for a return to racing, and that is your Blood Horse news update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, you can head on over to bloodhorse.com, because no one covers thoroughbred racing like Blood Horse. From the Blood Horse Weekly magazine and tablet to Blood Horse Daily app and email to bloodhorse.com. Racing, breeding, sales, industry news and analysis, and so much more. It's all at bloodhorse.com. And we're back to talk about Gulfstream and the Grade 2 Royal Delta with Mike Nyman. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Dre Fong that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 Kings Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Dre Fong being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Look for Justin Phillip's first crop of two-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
The Florida thoroughbred horse industry is more than a horse at a racetrack. Florida is one of the leading thoroughbred centers in the world, creating a $1 billion economic impact to the state annually and supports 12,000 jobs. Florida's Ocala-Marion County is recognized globally as a major thoroughbred breeding and training center, with over 600 farms and 15,000 thoroughbreds trained each year. Florida-based Ocala Breeder Sales is the two-year-old market leader. Plus, the cutting-edge equine services, leading veterinarians, researchers, feed and tack retailers, blacksmiths, equine specialists, and major horse transportation companies make it horse capital of the world. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association, your industry leader promoting the Florida Thoroughbred worldwide to create growth of the industry.
Spendthrift Stallion Golden Sense, a record-setting three-time Grade 1 winner and best son of emerging top sire Into Mischief, a winner of the Santa Anita Derby at 3 and one of the most brilliant milers of his generation, becoming the first horse to win back-to-back Breeders' Cup miles. Golden Sense also set a Del Mar track record, winning the Grade 2 Pat O'Brien Stakes in 120.99. Look for his first yearling selling this summer. Golden Sense, standing at Spendthrift.
We've waited nearly four decades for a horse to conquer the American classics. He was worth the wait.
The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown. A Triple Crown winner, a Breeders' Cup winner, a horse of a lifetime.
Standing at Coolmore America, home of champions.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Dickinson tries to thread the needle up the inside. Here's Dickinson getting through on the rail inside the 16th pole. And Dickinson and Paco Lopez ride the rail to win.
Dickinson stormed home to take the Grade 3 Suwannee River at Gulfstream this past weekend for trainer Kieran McLaughlin and jockey Paco Lopez. And that winning effort makes the Daughter of Medaglia d'Oro your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medagliadoro was once again ranked among the nation's elite sires in 2016 as the only sire last year to have at least 15 horses register 90-plus buyers on the dirt and another 15 horses register 90-plus buyers on turf. Plus, Medagliadoro is the only sire since 2012 to have four Grade 1 winners on turf and on the main track. To learn more about Medagliadoro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Mike Penna, Jude Feld here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, broadcasting live from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios here in Lexington, Kentucky. And we're going to focus now on the action in South Florida today at Gulfstream Park. Don't forget that Grade 2 Royal Delta Stakes, race 4 on the program today. You can hear exclusive coverage here on the Horse Racing Radio Network coming up at 1:30 Eastern Time. That's on Sirius XM 83 and worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And joined now by our good friend Mike Nyman at Gulfstream, Director of Marketing. And Mike, not only a big day with the racing there today, but also a big day with a little bit of a handicapping contest you got going on for the ladies.
Oh, yes. Today is Ladies' Day here at Gulfstream Park, not only to honor the great mare, unfortunately, who just recently passed away, Royal Delta, but we'll have a great day here honoring all the ladies here at Gulfstream Park. And we have a giveaway here today, which is when you purchase a program, you get a beautiful, lovely Gulfstream Park ladies' cosmetic bag. And then we have our Girls Got Game handicapping contest. We'll have over 100 women today playing in a handicapping contest for all kinds of prizes. And we have all kinds of other things going on there during the day. So if you're down here in South Florida and you want to make it over here, it's $60 to play. $32 includes your bankroll and includes lunch. And we have some really great prizes this year that also go along with the program. So another great Ladies' Day. We're looking forward to it. This is our third Ladies' Handicapping Challenge we've had this past year. It's become very, very popular, and it's been growing very quickly.
Yeah, extremely popular. I remember talking, what, was it 2 years ago when you launched Girls Got Game? And we were talking about the inaugural contest, and now you're up over 100 competitors in that contest. Mike, that's sensational.
Yeah, it's just a great job, and a lot of credit goes to Nancy Berry, the marketing manager here, and she's been really involved in really making this thing a successful event, and it's really a great thing to be part of, and just great to be able to increase our fan base, and it's all good for Gulfstream Park and racing in general.
Yeah, it's always great to have the women involved, and they really seem to enjoy it. It's competitive, but it's also a nice girls' day out kind of affair, and you guys do such a great job with it. It's a fantastic thing.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that. And yeah, we try to add some other little events to it, whether it's a fashion show. Last time we had Michelle Bernstein, who's a very well-known celebrity chef here in South Florida. She came and did a demonstration, and we had somebody design a cutting board, which we gave away as a gift, which was a really nice piece. And like I said, we add all the nice little components to it. The prizes, we have a brand new hotel here in Hallandale Beach has donated a couple of weekends. So we're really looking forward to giving those prizes away. Plus, we're giving away spa treatments and all kinds of other things. So it's going to be a great day. It's the Margaritaville Hotel, which is one of the new hotels that's been built here in the market in the last year. It's a beautiful place if you haven't seen it. So those that are fortunate enough to win some prizes from there are going to really enjoy it.
Yeah, Mike, we started the program today talking about love being in the air in the thoroughbred industry with the opening of the breeding sheds this past week, usually around Valentine's Day. And tomorrow, continuing with your theme of Ladies' Day and that love in the air type of theme, you're going to have a sweetheart soiree, which is $33 a person. That's a menu that includes, how about this, Jude? How can this be bad? Chocolate-covered crispy bacon strips, oyster shooters and ceviche, and then strawberry margarita jello shots. Mike, that's pretty cool.
Yep. This has been a really cool thing that we've started the last couple of years. Basically, these are these series, we call them the soirees. We started them in the summer to try to help our summer business, and we did them in conjunction with the three-set series of the Sire Stakes in August, September, and October. We've done it for the last couple of years, and it's become really, really popular. It's basically a tasting for 4 hours. You come to Ten Palms. It's a $33 ticket, as you mentioned, Mike, and you taste all these different samples, and what we mentioned is just a very small sampling of it. We get a lot of vendors that come in for different events, depending on what it is, different whiskeys and craft beers and things like that. It gives you a chance to try different things, and, you know, sometimes you're in a place you don't want to spend money to try something at these tastings. It gives you that opportunity. Plus, the best part is we include a $2 betting voucher and a program with it, and a lot of the people that come to this have never really been engaged in horse racing. Probably half of them have never even placed a bet on a race, so it's really kind of cool. They come up to you, hey, what do I do with the voucher? We show them, you know, how to make a dollar bet or, you know, $2 bet, and they have the program, and then they get engaged in it, and it gives them a chance to do something maybe they haven't done before, and this thing has become really popular. So the one we're doing tomorrow is a sweetheart soiree, and we're going to probably start doing these once a month. They've become just that popular, and it's been another, you know, win-win for Gulfstream.
Yeah, if you ever want to do a bromance soiree, maybe Mike and I can host that for you.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
That was quite a pause.
Well, I think in Mike and Michelle's honor, I might have to do a soiree-themed 50-1.
Yeah, she still hasn't watched that yet, by the way. Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing here at Gulfstream Park, joining us on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, let's remind people that there is racing this Monday, President's Day, at Gulfstream. That's a little bit different, but because of the holiday, you will have live racing on Monday.
That's correct. So the next 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Monday, we'll have a noon post and a special holiday racing on Monday. We have 12 races on all three of these days during the holiday weekend. And, of course, as we mentioned, kicking it off today in the fourth race with the Royal Delta, a little bit earlier in the card for the Grade 2 stake race, so that'll run about 1:30 today. But it looks like a really salty field.
Yeah, it is a salty field, a field of six. And I emailed you yesterday. We don't usually talk about the races necessarily, but I said, hey, let's talk about the Grade 2 Royal Delta because it is a top-notch field. Share your thoughts on that field, Mike. Who are you looking forward to watching?
Well, obviously the two favorites are going to be the morning line favorites, Curlin's Approval and Eskin for Money. For Curlin's Approval, it's going to be the first time this horse will be going two turns. The horse has gone a flat mile here at Gulfstream, which is a one-turn race, and finished second. And that was in the Grade 3 Rampart that actually Eskin for Money won that race. So they just faced each other. Eskin for Money was her last race, but it was Curlin's Approval has won one race since in the Hurricane Birdie Grade 3 and won that race as well. If we're just going for picking names, of course, I'm going to, at my age, it's probably not hard to figure it out. Had to go for Mo Green as a big Godfather fan. So I always enjoy reading the names that, you know, people come up with. And, of course, that brings back a lot of memories from my youth. But it's a six-horse field, and you also have Verve's Tail in there, a good horse from Barkley Tag. That just recently ran in the Grade 3 Comley in New York and won that race by a neck with Paco Lopez, who won five races here yesterday and almost a sixth, finishing second in the last race. So he's having a really good, solid meet, no doubt about it. And obviously you have all your top trainers in here as usual, Marty Wolfson, Todd Pletcher, Barkley Tag, you know, just to name a few. Joe Orsino's been having a pretty good meet here. So it's going to be a nice, looks like a really nice race.
Jew, we were just scratching the surface asking Mike about all of his marketing promotions that he has going on down there. The guy can handicap. Listen to him. He's a really good analyst.
Well, he has some, maybe he can take my job.
I don't think so.
let me ask you one quick question about this. If it makes your job any harder when the big race of the day is in the fourth race, I know you guys have like the, you know, Rainbow Six to worry about. You want a lot of entries in those races, but is it harder for a guy like you that's doing the marketing of the racing program when the stakes is so early in the day?
No, it really doesn't matter because we're always pushing out the post time of the first race anyway, and not really. Usually, as we know, typically, you know, big races or stake races are towards the end of the day. And if I was really marketing that, and I think to people that may not really realize or be familiar with how the, you know, the program works during the day. You probably get them to come out later, and that's definitely not what we want. We want to get people here early. And so from the marketing perspective, it's not really a problem whether the stake race is earlier in the card. Our crowd, believe it or not, you know, they stay here right to the last race. I always go downstairs, especially on Saturdays for the, you know, for the finale, and it's amazing just how the crowd, you know, hangs around. It's not like the old days. I remember when we would get finished, we would just be like bolting for the door unless we had a ticket to cash and right out to the car. So, you know, people like to be around here, and plus, you know, we have a lot of activities here at night and with the village and the casino and, of course, you know, our nighttime simulcasting program. People don't rush out of here so fast. It's a different day.
Mike Nyman, Gulfstream Park, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, as always, appreciate the time, my friend, and keep it rolling down there at Gulfstream Park, and we'll catch up next week.
Thanks a lot, guys, and looking forward to seeing you for the Fountain of Youth.
All right, good stuff. Mike Nyman here on HRRN. Like all of our guests, going to receive a gift courtesy of, yeah, Embrace the Race. Where would you love at embracetherace.com. Our good friend Mike Dianzaris there in Saratoga doing a great job with Embrace the Race, and we encourage you to visit their website and where would you love? EmbraceTheRace.com. A lot of things happening down at Gulfstream.
Yeah, it's really cool. And what I like, as Mike mentioned, people hanging around after the races per se, but there's simulcasting, and of course there's races going on in California all the way to almost 9 o'clock at night. So there's all of that action plus everything that happens there. It's like almost 24 hours a day. There's a little gap, you know, like maybe from like 2 in the morning to 7 or something where it's kind of quiet. But the rest of the time, there's action there all the time.
And there's chocolate-covered bacon.
You think just can't seem to get over that.
Got wind of that?
I don't know. But I know where he'll be at Fountain Youth, at the chocolate bacon stand.
All right, we are going to get to a break. We have one more segment yet to come, and it's a good one. Trainer Doug O'Neill is going to join us on the other side of this break, so stay with us. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Power. Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a 5-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down. A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Coase in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a buyer speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes winning 2-year-old, Anchor Down is a half brother to Grade 1 winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care, just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss. Hello? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Hello?
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know you...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store. And that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus Store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
This is David Jacobson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Hilliard going nicely into the lane. Moves out by two lengths. Closer to three and up a stretch as he ducks back to the inside rail. Law Biden Citizen second coming across his heels trying to re-rally. Battle of Midway and Aquamarine are well back battling for third. And it's Hilliard in front for replacement jockey Flavion Prutt. Hilliard scores brilliantly in the San Vicente. From Law Biden Citizen, Battle of Midway, Aquamarine fourth.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Been a very busy program and talking a lot of Derby as we edge closer to the first Saturday in May. In case you're wondering, now just 77 days, 7 hours, 47 minutes, and 53 seconds away from that run for the roses, and that is appropriate as we make our way down the road to the Kentucky Derby. And who else? We do it with trainer Doug O'Neill, who knows a thing or two about winning the race. He's done it a couple of times, including last year with Nyquist and in 2012 with I'll Have Another. Doug, welcome, my friend.
Hey, good morning, you guys. How are you?
Doing good. Great. Happy to have you on board. What do you do for an encore this year?
Things happen in threes. You know, we'll try to do it again. Hey, most importantly, happy belated birthday to Jude Feld.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah,
thank you.
I wish I was close there. I would have took you out to dinner or something.
Well, I tell you, you texted me. You were one of the first people to text me for my birthday. I was very, very nice of you to do, and I was very happy about it. You got a really nice horse on your hands. You might do this number three. Is that amazing or what?
It's incredible. Yeah, when we got Hilliard in the barn, you could just tell there was something special about him. He's just a big, good-looking dude, and he's he's a son of Ghost Zapper, and his previous win was at Los Alamitos, and he did it so impressively, and then to see him duplicate that in the San Vicente, it definitely gives us all excitement and optimism that who knows, crazy things could happen here in the next few months, in the next 77 days.
Yeah, hard to believe it's going to be here before we know it. But you know, Doug, you've been down this road now. It's, I don't want to call it old hat, but it kind of is. I mean, you know how to get to the Kentucky Derby, you know how to win the Kentucky Derby. Last year you started Nyquist in that San Vicente Stakes, and I remember you joining us on the program talking about his schedule. How about for Hilliard? Obviously, he doesn't have the accolades and the foundation that Nyquist had, but tell me about Hilliard and starting him in the San Vicente. What's his plan moving forward?
Well, right now we're thinking the San Felipe and then the Sandina Derby would be the ideal goals. But, you know, with Mr. Kaleem Shah, I'm just trying to, you know, huddle up with him and move forward with him and how he wants to do it. And, you know, I know Team Redham gets when we get one, sometimes we'll have no problem putting them on a plane and going somewhere outside of town. So I just got to kind of play it by ear. But I know Kaleem has been most interested in staying home here, so we'll see how that goes.
You know, what's it like training for Mr. Shah? He's from a family of horsemen. I didn't know that till the other day, that his father and grandfather were trainers. And I also didn't know that you were his first trainer. So that's kind of cool as well. But what's it like training for a guy who actually has that horse racing background and can relate to you as a trainer, possibly?
It's great. I mean, it keeps you on your toes because you can't, you know, you can't say the wrong thing because he'll call you out on it because he knows what's going on. But, yeah, you know, actually, Joe Devereaux, do you remember Joe?
Sure.
You guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe Devereaux trained for Kaleem and out in California. And then Joe decided to go back east, and they were down to only a few horses, and they moved the horses over to me. So I trained for Kaleem, it seemed, about 6 months, and then Kaleem just kind of got out of it for a little bit and then came back bigger than ever when he did come back. But he's a wonderful guy. He's a very intense guy. You know, he's well-studied, and his whole family, too. It's a real family affair with his son, Armand, is an avid historian of racing, so it's a great group. And man, when they go to these sales, they buy some top horses, so it's a real pleasure for everyone at the barn to be surrounded by the Team Shah horses, because they all have the potential, that's for sure.
Doug, you have another big name client in Paul Redham, and last year at Preakness, we had the opportunity to visit with Paul and with jockey Mario Gutierrez and with yourself. And that was one of my highlights of my entire broadcasting career, having the chance to sit down with Team O'Neill and Team Redham and Mario. Talk about Ann Arbor Eddie, who goes to the post later today in the El Camino Real Derby up in Northern California. And talk about that relationship that you have with Paul and with Mario and how they fit into the whole equation.
Yeah, God, that was fun. God, it seems like it was yesterday. Seems like Trump's been in the office about 4 years, and it seems like that interview was yesterday. But
well said.
You know what? God, Ann Arbor Eddie, he's such a credit to Square Eddie, who Paul and Zilla own and stand down at Ocean Breeze Ranch, and just a credit to everyone at Ocean Breeze Ranch who work so hard and don't get any credit at all. And he's just another son of Square Eddie. That's, you know, he's 3-for-4, and you know, this will be his first time on the synthetic, and going a mile and eighth. But you know, we're pretty high on him today. I think he's going to run well, and I think the relationship with Paul and I and Mario and Paul and I is just it is a special one, in the fact that here's a guy, Paul Redham, who is a blue collar guy. He's from Windsor, Canada, and really worked his way into being a successful businessman, and he still has that lunch pail mentality. And he, when you talk to him on a daily basis, he's just a humble guy, and he's as competitive as anybody, but as understanding as anybody as well. So he's a rock star to train for, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's a very down to earth man, and you know, his expectations are always high, but tempered with the knowledge of the game, and I think that's a fantastic way to be. Ann Arbor Eddie, being by Square Eddie, who's by Smart Strike and out of an NXS mare, ought to really really take to the Tapeta surface, I think.
I agree, Jude. Yeah, I 100% agree. And the only thing you see on those synthetic tracks, as we all watch them a lot, is a lot of the races are won in the final quarter of the race. And a lot of these Square Eddies, they follow the doors so quickly, and they get into the race so quickly a lot of times. And That's the only thing that might be a challenge for Ann Arbor Eddie, is he likes to be forwardly placed, and sometimes that synthetic track can be a little demanding that last quarter mile or so. But, you know, we got Mario going up to ride him, and he knows the horse so well, and he's a very patient rider himself. So that's the only thing we've stressed to Mario, is just, you know, save horse, because Golden Gate, when they turn for home, weird things start happening, so you got to save horse.
Trainer Doug O'Neill, our special guest here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, continuing to go down that road to the Kentucky Derby presented by Gainsway. Doug, when you look at trying to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish and win three Kentucky Derbies this year, if you're fortunate enough to pull it off, you're going to join Max Hirsch and Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons with three Kentucky Derby victories. What's it mean to hear those words?
Wow. I mean, as you talk about bringing up Armand Shaw, the historian of racing, those are some classic, unbelievable horsemen. So just to even talk, to have a chance, is incredible. And just a great sport. I don't know. You know, it's one that doesn't matter what race it is, really. I know the Derby is, there's a lot of buzz about it, but we got some running at San Anita today, and each and every one of them I'm fired up for and hoping to win. So it's just a great game, and so blessed to be part of it.
Well, just for the record, you'll still be one behind Baffert.
Well, he would know that for sure.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a historian in him, isn't there?
Bob just keeps doing it, he just had his birthday not too long ago, and I talked briefly with him, and he's still, man, his competitive juices are flowing, you know, stronger than ever, and just year in, year out, Bob just continues to kick butt, and he's got a couple live three-year-olds this year too, so it'll be interesting to see where they go.
Yeah, no question about it. Hey, we had no idea when you were loading those tack trunks into the Bob Hubbard van to go down to Del Mar that you might be compared to Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, huh?
Yeah, well, it's only you two bringing that up. I don't think anyone else would compare him to him. It's really, God, I think it's a credit, man. I was telling my son yesterday that, the fact that you, Jude, gave me a chance to, pick up that shank and start hot walking at age 18 and just, God, all the great people in the sport and all the great people that I've been blessed to be around and surround myself with. So even though it may say trainer with my name on it, God, there's just so many zillions of people that are part of both those Derby wins, that's for sure. So, lots of fun, a lot of good memories. And, you know, actually, I talked yesterday, Jude, not to make this a personal conversation, but Mike Amade called me out of the blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a flash from the past. But it's been a great ride, and hopefully there's a long road left in the journey.
Yeah, no, you certainly have your finger on the pulse of the Kentucky Derby, and it was just great to see you have such an outstanding horse coming up. And you've got a couple other horses laying in the weeds, so maybe we'll get lucky one more year.
Your lips to God's ears. And Nyquist just bred his first mare the other day, so that was exciting to hear. So hopefully there'll be little Nyquist running around in a few years.
Yeah, I went out to see him the other day. He looks great.
He's a beef. He's such a natural. I mean, he's like a LeBron James of horses, that horse. He just does things that most horses dream about, and he does them without really thinking. He's amazing.
Mike brought me a hat from Darley for you to sign. I got a silver Sharpie waiting for you the next time I see you.
I asked before the shot of tequila.
Yeah, that's right.
My name right.
Yeah, who would have thought Jude Fell would be asking you for your autograph when you picked up that shank the first time?
There's more to that story. I don't know what's going on there, but too funny. Well, man, it's been great, and hopefully, you know, God, it's been pouring rain here. Both tracks are closed here at San Anita, and looks like they're going to race, but it's been crazy, the weather out here, that's for sure.
Yeah, Doug, in 30 seconds or less, has that affected the way you've had to handle everything with your Derby prospects and their training?
It has. Actually, last year they talked about, we were going to get this kind of rain, and we were just panicking with Nyquist because he's kind of horse so much energy. You've got to let him exercise every day or he's going to kill somebody. And so we really got blessed. This year, actually, our Derby hopefuls a little bit more mellow. So it has altered our training, but it hasn't seemed to affect it in a negative way. So hopefully that continues.
All right, Doug O'Neill with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Doug, as always, you're very generous with your time. Every time we ask you to come on the program, thank you and good luck, my man. Continued success.
Sounds good. Thanks for calling. Thanks to you guys.
All right, Doug O'Neill here on HRN. JT, that's about it for us. 1 minute left here to wrap it all up. We're back this afternoon. Anthony Stabile has the coverage of the Royal Delta from Gulfstream. That comes up 1:30 Eastern Time, Sirius XM 83. Oblando de Abismo coming up on HRN and Espanol.com. That comes up 10 Eastern this morning. You can tune in online. And by the way, we had another foal tweeted to us, an American Pharaoh baby out of Maybelline in beautiful central Kentucky at Clarkland Farm. So our thanks to them. Check out HRN on Twitter and check out our website, horseracingradio.net, for a podcast of this show, including all of our guests, Brian Hernandez Jr., Trish Smith of MLS Power Sports, Steve Haskin, Mike Nyman, and Doug O'Neill.
Great show.
Happy birthday, my friend.
Oh, thank you.
All right. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. For now, so long, and hey, why not? Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.